everyone, and welcome back to Casual Climbers, the podcast by and for beginning hikers and those who may not quite be physically ready to tackle the Appalachian Trail. I'm your host, Donna Padrick, and alongside me is my husband and adventure buddy, Roy.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, Roy.
So in this podcast, Donna and I try to provide you with information, tips, and a few tricks on how to get into hiking here in the Blue Ridge area. We will cover some of the hundreds of trails in the various parks and forests in the region, and hopefully entertain you a little bit along the way. We're two middle-aged, not really in the best shape.
Definitely not in the best shape.
Hikers who love the outdoors and really want to share our experiences with you. So in this week's episode, Donna, we discuss a really challenging but rewarding hike in South Carolina's Table Rock State Park, the Pinnacle Mountain Falls Trail. We'll also have a fun fact by you about ancient petroglyphs in the area. And finally, we'll review my hiking backpack that I just love. So what do you say, Donna? Let's get into it.
Let's go.
So here's this week's trail by the numbers. This is a 2.78 mile there and back trail. Now, it took us overall time 2 hours and 42 minutes. But only 1 hour and 12 minutes of that was moving time, and Donna and I are going to go into why there's such a big discrepancy there here in just a minute. The lowest point is 1,100 feet above sea level. The highest point is 1,500 feet above sea level, which is only a 400-foot elevation change, but this is a very misleading elevation change.
Yeah, that can't be right.
It is, but it's very misleading.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the trail friendliness for this one, it's very challenging once you get to the connector trail. Extremely challenging. Might be the toughest one, even harder, I think, than Rainbow Falls was.
I don't know if I agree with you there. Rainbow Falls holds a special place in my heart for the difficulty level. It's not a good place in my heart.
No, you know, the thing about Rainbow Falls is the elevation change is so constant. It's just a constant climb up. Mm-hmm. This one wasn't a constant climb up, but I found the footing, especially on the connector trail. So it's the last maybe half to three quarters of a mile was very, very challenging.
I mean, yes, my foot, the angle that my foot had to be at to climb that last bit, there were many times that I thought, maybe we turn back.
Yeah. Here's the thing about this particular trail is that there were parts of it that had a 27 degree grade going up or down, which is, if you guys aren't used to hiking, 27 degrees is really steep for walking very unsteady ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't try this tough with tennis shoes or anything with a slick bottom. You need grip. I wouldn't even recommend trying this with hiking boots because your ankle needs that movement to be able to make your foot go to that angle.
Yeah, I don't wear hiking boots. I always wear my hiking shoes, but I can't imagine doing this with high cut boots at all, or even mid cut boots, because you really do need a lot of foot motion.
Yes.
So let's start out at the beginning. So this is at Table Rock State Park, which is an absolutely beautiful park all the way around.
100%.
But this particular trail starts out in an area different than the Carrot Creek Loop or the more famous ones there. You turn off onto the left going toward the campgrounds almost as soon as you get into the park. It's maybe 100 yards past the park entrance. And you go down the road and you park in this, I think it might be one of the biggest parking areas that we've been in. There were probably 100 spaces there.
I took a couple of pictures when we finished the hike. There was only our vehicle and maybe two other vehicles in this huge parking area. So it's less well known.
Yes, by far. And we're gonna talk about how that went for us.
Because this was a Saturday and that parking lot was empty. And oh, by the way, we had to wait in a line of cars to get into Table Rock State Park. So that parking area being that empty that much of the day, because it was from 9 until noon, basically.
9:30 until 12:30 was the time that we were there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's peak hiking time on a Saturday.
On a Saturday with crystal blue.
Oh, yes. The weather. Bluest of skies.
The weather was absolutely beautiful.
Spring has sprung.
Yeah. So I expected there to be more people there, but you're right. We went this entire trail, almost 3 hours of it, seeing a single person.
Right. The only people that we encountered were, I think it was a couple that was coming off the trail as we were going in.
Yeah. And we don't know where they were coming from.
Right.
So this parking area is right in front of the Table Rock Pavilion. So if you follow the signs to the Table Rock Pavilion, you'll get to the parking area, and the trailhead is right at the end of the parking area. It's kind of hard to miss the trailhead, but it's easy to not find the parking area because you're not used to going in.
Yeah, you have
direction.
To drive past people camping.
Yes. You go past the RV
campers.
Camping.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, as Donna mentioned, we had the trail entirely to ourselves. And it was good in a lot of ways because I like to feel like I'm in nature
right.
and not at a shopping mall when I'm doing hiking. But in some ways, it was tough. And so here's my biggest tip for you for this trail. Bring a hiking app that has your route pre-programmed.
Yes.
Because the first part of the trail is fine. It's clearly marked. But once you get to the Falls Connector Trail, and you'll see this on my map, you'll see a kind of a hard left turn that goes into it. And all the maps and all the pictures we post are on our website. Go to trail photos and drop down. This will be under episode 15. You'll see the trail map. Because there were many parts of this where I wasn't sure if we were supposed to go left, right, or straight. And then the paths were very overgrown.
Yes, and not a lot of tree marking for my taste.
Normally, we run across a lot of tree markings. This time, there was plenty in the first part.
In the first part.
But when you get to the Falls Connector Trail, so this is actually kind of a three trail
combo.
Combo trail. You start out with Mountain Laurel Trail at the parking lot. And then you turn on to Palmetto Trail. Now, Palmetto Trail is a long trail that spans the entire state of South Carolina. It starts in the farthest west upstate and goes all the way to the East Coast. We will not be doing that trail.
Well, we'll do bits of it here and there.
We've already done a few parts of it. We've already clipped bits and pieces here. And in this particular trail that we're talking about today, we walk about a mile of it. So Mountain Laurel Trail to Palmetto Trail to the Pinnacle Falls, I guess they call it a connector trail, but the Pinnacle Falls connector trail is it's not marked at all, and it is very overgrown. Like, there were parts of it we legitimately wondered, are we on a trail?
Listen, it took a lot of faith. I am so proud of my trusting you yesterday, because there were moments where I was like, does he know what we're doing, where we're going? Are we going to be lost? Is this where we die?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it really feels like it, because the trail itself, very overgrown. There are parts of it that are where you're being touched by plants on both sides, and it looks like a deer path.
Yeah.
Not a hiking path. It's very, very narrow. And then there's tons of rock scrambling. Like, we scrambled up and down rocks on the way up to the falls itself.
Climbing over trees,
climbing over branches. We had to move several branches out of the trail.
Yes.
So the fact that we ran into nobody
right?
on 3 hours, the trail is very overgrown, made us believe that this is not a very well-traveled path at all.
Yes. And there were many times with the difficulty there, especially towards the end, where I was like, if we don't get to a beautiful something, a beautiful waterfall, if there's not a payoff here, I'm going to be pretty grumpy about
it. I get it. It is legitimately tough. Now, if you look at the trail on All Trails or Komoot, All Trails calls the trail easy.
Ha.
Now, I don't know if they went all the way up. We didn't use All Trails. There's no universe, even if you're a seasoned hiker, where this is an easy hike.
Right.
And for to unfit beginning hikers like us, this was a pain bringer hike.
Right.
At the end there. The first part, I think, is actually break a sweat because you go, there's a significant elevation change even in the first part going up and down.
I did okay on the first part. I really did. I didn't break a sweat until I would say 3/4 of the way there.
Yeah, it was cooler in the morning, but yeah, no, I mean, you could feel it.
Yes.
It's not like either one of us were huffing and puffing, but
now I did bring
it's not a stroll in the park.
I brought both of my hiking poles on this one just because I had read about that last bit and I thought I was only going to get my two poles out there at the end, but I got my two poles out. When you have two hiking poles helping you, that helps your knees and your hips because your arms are doing some of the work.
Yeah, and it keeps your arms active,
yes,
right? Because if you're doing long hikes, and this one's not particularly long, less than 3 miles, but your hands can start to swell if they're just hanging down by you the whole time. So keeping your arms moving not only gives your arms a workout, takes some pressure off your knees, but also just makes it, I think, a better hike. I use one most of the time.
Sometimes I use one most of the time.
Yeah.
Yes, but yeah, I also think I need them for balance. At least one, usually, I need for balance.
On some of these, sure. And on this one, especially. So we've been talking for the past almost 10 minutes now about how difficult this trail is. So why did we do it?
Because there was a waterfall at the end.
Oh my gosh. So even after all that of telling you guys how difficult, especially the last 3/4 of it, the last half of it is, this might be my favorite trail that we've done in the past year and a half.
Yes, because of the waterfall at the end. We had it entirely to ourselves.
The Pinnacle Falls waterfall is absolutely gorgeous, probably 110 feet tall. And we did, like Donna said, we had it entirely to ourselves. So of the hour and 30 minutes that we spent not moving, a good 40 minutes of that was spent there at the waterfall, just enjoying it to ourselves.
Yes.
It was really, really wonderful. And beyond that, you heard me remark a number of times on the hike yesterday how interesting I thought this trail was.
Yes. You go through a different ecosystem, it seems like. The closer you get to the waterfall, it changes. Just the flowers, there's these parts where there's ferns on both sides. And there were these unique flowers that I think you looked them up and they're endangered or threatened or something.
They're threatened. Yeah, they're sweet wake robin is what they're called. And there's these really gorgeous, a deep maroon, deep red flower that grows underneath
the leaves, the canopy of leaves.
Yeah, these big, giant, green, wide leaves. And the flower grows up underneath. So if you're looking down, you can't see the flower.
It's to the side of you on the path.
Yeah.
So that's how you see the flower.
Yeah.
I got a picture because I kind of took my phone and put it up under the flower and the sun was shining through one of the red petals of the flower. And it's so pretty.
It's a beautiful flower. And I put that picture up on the website so you guys can go see it now. Episode 15 of the trail photos. But so the trail starts out in a typical upstate woodland setting, right?
Yeah, pretty enough.
You have oaks and birch trees and tons of mountain laurels that are not quite in bloom yet.
Right, what's that tree in our backyard?
Oh, dogwood.
Yes, there are dogwood in
bloom.
Yeah,
there was that little baby dogwood that was doing its best to show some flowers. And it was beautiful. That dogwood was beautiful, but it was just a little guy. And then, so you go through this canopy of mountain laurel trees that I can't wait to do this portion again when the flowers are blooming. And then you get to the Palmetto Trail and the mountain laurel trees go away and you get into real, just basic hardwood forest. And then you get on the Connector Trail and it's a completely different experience. There's deep, lush ferns everywhere. It's more of a wetland forest feel on the Connector Trail than it is the, you know, woodland forest trail. It's amazing. It really was two separate ecosystems.
Yes.
From the first part of the trail to the second. And that's why I found it so interesting, because it's almost like a different you're in a different place altogether.
It's a different feel for sure. Waterfalls themselves too have their own ecosystem, it seems.
A lot of lichen by the waterfalls, a lot of moss, a lot of...
Which, be careful with slippery stuff.
Fungus, yeah. Yeah, and so once you get to the waterfall, there's a little bit of scramble over some rocks that you really should be careful with, guys, because some of the rocks, there's a lot of water that passes through there, and a lot of the rocks there have, you know, the moss covering on them.
Yes.
And they're slick.
I went back and forth being glad that I had the two hiking sticks and thinking, oh, this would have been better with one hiking stick scrambling over the rocks, because when you're trying to get over these rocks, sometimes it's better to have one hand hanging onto a rock or hanging onto a tree rather than having just the two hiking poles getting over these rocks.
Exactly. That's how I did it when I went to the, when we got to the waterfall after we finished our climb on the trail, and we had to scramble across three or four fairly big boulders.
Yes.
I just set my hiking pole down and used the rocks to balance me and guide me over. And then there's this one pretty big, fairly flat rock that you and I sat on and spent most of our time.
Yes.
And it's gives you a gorgeous view of the waterfall. And then there's a smaller waterfall right there at this rock. And the waterfall's what? Probably maybe 8-10 feet tall.
It's still right there. Yes, it's still a waterfall.
Yeah. And that one flows a ton of water down.
And you're so close to it, and you kind of got up.
I got in there, got my head in it. Yep. And there's a nice little pool there. It's not very big,
but it's deep. It's knee deep.
It was over knee deep. Yeah, in this area. So you could totally sit on the edge of the rock and drop your feet in the water.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally worth it. Just a totally worth it experience.
Yes.
We got there, and after the hike up, it wiped us both out getting to where we were. We were able to just sit there and relax.
Drink water, have a snack.
We rested.
Recovered.
and just enjoyed the day, because it was a gorgeous day yesterday.
Yes.
Absolutely gorgeous. There were birds chirping, and you know, you could hear squirrels and all kinds of other stuff. And then just of course the roar of the waterfall and the water rushing by. So
yeah.
As hard as this hike was, I definitely will be doing this again and again and again.
100%. Yes, I will do it again too. I might take my time a little bit more, maybe take a few more breaks, because you kept saying, oh, it's this many more feet and that many more feet, and what the numbers that you were giving me, and then the effort to get there. It felt to me like we should be there by now about, I want to say 5 to 7 times before we got there.
The first time I looked down and it said, oh, you have 1,050 feet left. I'm thinking, oh, okay, great. We're like right there.
Yes. Your voice was very encouraging to me.
And then, we struggled up more, and I swore we went halfway. And I looked down as like, only 870 feet left. I'm like,
yes.
It took us 5-6 minutes to go 200 feet.
Yes.
It was nuts.
I'm really glad that you were feeling the same way that I was, because I started looking, because there was an episode that we did a little while back where I wanted you to, for lack of a better way of saying it, blow sunshine up my butt. And so then yesterday, I felt like you were blowing sunshine up my butt. I felt like you were... I in my mind, I was like, is he lying to me? But I could see that you were looking at the app and you were reading numbers to me. And so I was like, no, he's telling me.
It was the truth, but holy cow.
Yes.
When I saw 1,000 feet, I was legitimately happy, because I'm thinking, oh God, good.
We're so almost there.
And you can hear the waterfall falling, because yes, it is a legit waterfall.
And you can see it from pretty far back.
Yeah, you can see it from pretty far back. And I just remember going,
wait a minute.
How in the heck did we go 200 feet in like 8 minutes?
And it hurts this bad.
Not.
And I was dripping with sweat.
We both were. My shirt,
The
back of my shirt was soaked.
Yeah.
And that's the first time that I've really sweat that much.
And it was not hot.
Since last summer.
We were not sweating because it was hot.
No, it was in the 50s.
Was
50s,
it?
50s and early 60s there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, low 60s. Yeah. It wasn't hot when we, by the time we got back, because, you know, 3 hours later, you know.
3 hours later.
it was much hotter, but man, yeah. And so scrambling up there, I had the same thought as you. This better be worth it.
Yeah.
This better be worth it.
There better be a waterfall.
This better be
an amazing waterfall. And honestly, I loved that waterfall so much more than I love Rainbow Falls. So much more than I love Rainbow Falls.
It's, you know what? It actually surprises me that more people don't do that hike. And it's clear that more people don't because the hike is, that trail is just so overgrown.
Yes.
And so difficult.
And the trees are not really well. I mean, I think that the markings on the trees were yellow from that. In the beginning, it was purple and white. But when we crossed over into the second half of that, I think I only saw kind of almost like faded yellow on trees.
I didn't see any tree markers once we got on the Falls Connector.
Okay.
Not a single one.
Okay.
And when I say use the app, I cannot strongly recommend that enough for you.
This is true.
Because there is one part when you get on the Connector Trail, and this is not marked in any way, but you have a fork in the road. And unless you know to go to the right, intuitively you think go to the left because it looks like it's heading toward the waterfall, but it does not.
Right.
You have to go to the right.
Yes. And there's somebody has placed two thin downed trees across that other path, the fork that's to the right. But those, you've been climbing over trees and climbing over rocks bigger than these two thin trees that, I don't know if you noticed them, I might have taken a picture of that. But I feel like somebody laid these two trees across that path to let you know that you shouldn't go down that path. But that path to the right seems wider than the one to the left to me. It's they're almost equal, but
it looks like it's a more well-worn path. And I think you might be thinking the opposite way.
Wait.
Because as you're walking toward the waterfall, we went right, and left is the way that looks like it should be the right way, but it's not the right way.
I might be getting this mixed up with something.
So we go right, and that's the way up to the Connector Trail. All of this is to say, use the app.
Use the
app.
It'll
guide you there. Both All Trails and Komoot have a pre-programmed trail that will get you there. I used Komoot. It's already there. You don't have to map it yourself.
Download it when you have internet.
Yes, that's a good point. Download it when you have internet. So that way, when you get there, it doesn't say, hey, we don't know where you are.
Right. So,
because there's no cell service. We use Verizon. There's no cell service in the parking lot there. So if you haven't downloaded it before you go, you're not going to have it. They probably have internet at the park store. I don't know. We didn't check.
Yes, we didn't check this time.
But anyway, just that's our biggest tip for this hike.
Right.
Download the trail before you go on your app, whether it's All Trails, Komoot, or some other hiking app. Make sure you have it and follow it because it will. There are many parts where, and this is unusual for us. Most of the time, the trails are very clearly marked, very easy to follow. Where I feel like I don't need the app. The only reason I use it is for tracking purposes.
Right.
This was one time where I checked my phone.
We really.
Every 100 feet.
We really weren't. Well, especially if there was a there was one point where we had to do a switchback, but that wasn't super clear. Nothing was marked. There weren't trees that were marked. And
no.
So, yes. I want to also say that spring has sprung, which means flowers, which means bugs, which means flying bugs, which means killer bees. And well, probably not killer bees, but in my mind, they're killer bees.
The murder bees.
The murder bees. Yes.
There were a lot of bugs yesterday. You're not wrong on that.
So I was so glad that I had my Thermacell in my backpack.
Your Thermacell did so well.
Yes.
I didn't feel a single buzzing around us. And you could see the bugs.
Oh,
everywhere.
Yes. Big.
Everywhere.
Big. I read about bumblebees and I read that they're not aggressive and they're not going to, you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone.
Which has been the case for me.
It has been the case. I don't trust bugs and I have issues with bugs and I would not have enjoyed this hike anywhere near as much as I did without that Thermacell in my backpack. I have to say that.
There's enough to worry about on this hike.
Yes.
to not worry about bugs.
Right.
There's plenty that you're going to have to fight on this hike. Bugs should not be one of them. Yeah. Yes.
So the bugs are, I'm enjoying seeing the flowers that are coming out. The bugs are enjoying the flowers. We just need to enjoy them separately in our own space.
There was also this pretty little mountain azalea tree there.
Yes. Yes.
It had pink flowers, these clusters of pink flowers.
They smelled good.
Yeah, they did. Overall, listeners, I loved this hike. It was tough. It beat me up. We had to stop a lot. But man, the waterfall was worth it. The flora was worth it. The different ecosystems was worth it. It was just a wonderful, in my opinion, a wonderful hike start to finish.
Yes. Some of the reviews that we read about this hike before we did it, there was a mom with two little kids, and I would not take kids. Or I don't know, probably dogs would be okay, depending on the size of the dog.
Probably. I can't imagine she took, because I saw that review, she had a 5 and a 2-year-old. I cannot imagine a 5 and a 2-year-old going all the way up to the waterfall.
No.
I can't. I would never bring.
Because you'd have to carry that 2-year-old.
You're carrying that 2-year-old over. We had to scale over boulders on this trail to get to the mountain.
Now, there is one point where you're crossing water, and it was not as easy as I would have liked it to be.
Yeah. It was a wide stream, and there's a picture of you crossing it on the trail photos. It was a wide stream. A couple of the rocks are completely underwater.
Yes.
That you have to step on.
So again, slippery factor.
Yep.
Be careful of that. The poles are great to have in this situation to see how deep the water is. Because sometimes if water's rushing over a rock, you can tell with your pole, A, if the rock is going to be slippery, and B, how deep that water is that's rushing over that rock.
And also if that rock is stable.
Yes.
Because a lot of times it'll look like a big old stable rock and you step on it. And
wobble.
Yeah, and it'll wobble and down goes your ankle. Overall, Donna, would you recommend this hike to anybody?
I would, with the caveat that just know what you're getting into. The waterfall is worth it to me. But if you're not feeling well that day, maybe a different hike for you.
Yeah, I would say get 5, 10, 15 hikes under your belt before you do this. But then when you feel totally comfortable, absolutely do this one again and again and again.
Yeah, if you're having a good hip day, a good knee day.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing, I forgot to bring my ibuprofen. On difficult hikes, I like to have ibuprofen in my bag for the trip back.
Yeah, and also, Donna, no benches.
No benches.
Not a single bench.
No.
Along the way.
That,
and very few trees and rocks to sit on.
Yes, that made me a little sad. So.
Yeah. Overall, love this hike. Not for the faint of heart. Not for the very beginners. Definitely get some easier trails under your belt, but worth every step if you're up for the challenge.
Yes. We didn't check out the bathrooms, but the building that the bathrooms at the parking lot,
the pavilions got bathrooms there.
It looked really nice. And the parking area, the big parking area that we parked in, they had a whole bunch of new picnic tables that were stacked out there. Looks like they're about to do some
picnic table replacement at the park. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a bunch of them, maybe 100. Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
So that's it, guys. Make sure that you check this one out if you're up for the challenge. This is not for the faint of heart. This is not for those who are unsteady. Certainly not a wheelchair friendly or hover around friendly trail. No, I wouldn't recommend young kids in the last part. The first part, they'd be fine.
Yes.
The first half, they'd be fine. But then there's not really much to see in the first part. But definitely, if you're looking for a challenge, you have the right gear. And by that, I mean good hiking shoes or boots.
Good grip.
Good grip, definitely. Hiking poles. Make sure you bring water or a filtered water bottle or bladder.
Right.
And then at the end, it's just a really spectacular, very secluded waterfall that is worth every step of the way, in my opinion. So, Donna, what's today's fun fact?
Today's fun fact is about petroglyphs. Did you know that there is a petroglyph site at Pinnacle Mountain?
I did not, really. I know there's one close by at Haygood Mill.
Haygood Mills is the more well-known one, and it is a wonderful place to visit, and I recommend visiting that place.
We've been there a couple times, and I absolutely love it.
I want to go back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Often. But yes, so a petroglyph is a form of ancient rock art created by carving, pecking, or incising designs, symbols, or images onto natural rock surfaces. And this was done by ancient civilizations. This is really, really deep history.
So how ancient are we talking?
Very ancient. You're actually more into archaeology than I am. So yeah,
the petroglyphs at Haygood Mill date back 1500 to 2000 years ago. So I'm guessing these are probably around the same time. That would be the...
Yes.
Yeah, the Mississippian people.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
All right.
So these ancient people would carve, and we're still trying to figure out what the meaning was and why they did it. So... yeah, it's really fascinating. This old to imagine people, civilizations being here and doing this that long ago.
Right. I mean, you know, we have written history now, but they didn't have written history back then. There was no writing back then for them that we know of.
That we know.
Nothing survived.
Except for petroglyphs. Right. They're all around the world. Petroglyphs. They're from North America to Europe, Africa, Asia, and Australia. They're worldwide. And each region has its different unique styles.
Okay.
So the petroglyph site at Pinnacle Mountain, this petroglyph site was authenticated by Pickens County naturalist Dennis Chastain and state archaeologist Tommy Charles. There's over 600 carved circles etched into the table rock.
600?
Nice. Yes.
That is insane.
It is. The site is just a few hundred yards from the summit of Pinnacle Mountain.
So we saw the summit at the waterfall.
Right.
And so we were, there's no way I was climbing up that.
You'd have to climb up the steeper side of Pinnacle Mountain.
Yeah, I understand that trail is miles and miles long.
Yes.
Like 9-10 miles long.
It's not for unfit hikers.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I mean, maybe if a helicopter could just drop me off there and then I could look.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what?
What?
Maybe we could talk Sasquatch into carrying us up. Mm. Just put us in a little baby papoose.
Oh, no. I don't think they smell.
He'd be very gentle.
I don't know if that's correct.
I think I derailed your fun fact a little bit.
Yeah, and we need to visit the Bigfoot Museum in Blue Ridge, Georgia again.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite places.
It sounds like Sasquatch and Bigfoot, that like they're kind of violent and they're anti-human.
I think they're misunderstood.
Okay, possibly.
But continue.
Okay, so in order to get up there, one must embark on a challenging uphill hike spanning several miles to reach the ancient treasure. The journey involves crossing Sassafras. So we were at Sassafras Mountain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The highest peak in South Carolina.
Right.
You have to cross that mountain. So you have to traverse Hickory Nut Mountain and ascend the steep side of Pinnacle Mountain.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I know. If we had trouble with the last 1,000 feet of yesterday's hike, I don't think
that's not even getting to the top of the mountain. That's just to the base of the waterfall.
Right. Yes. So apart from one instance where a circle appears to have been chipped out, most of the carvings are represented by chalk drawings on the rock face. These petroglyphs, they were most likely created by the Hopewell Indian culture.
Oh, okay. The Hopewell. Sure. Uh-huh.
And they remain a mystery. So their purpose and symbolism continue to intrigue researchers.
Yeah, most petroglyphs are just like iconography, right? They're basic shapes whose meaning has been lost to time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interestingly, the circles on the right side of the rock face are significantly older than those on the left.
Really?
Yeah. Is that weird?
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. They started on the right and they went to the left. I don't know. They become visible. The ones on the older ones, they become visible only when the angle of light accentuates them. That's how you can discover and see petroglyphs sometimes, is because of the way the sun is.
Right. So at Haygood Mill, they have their petroglyphs. So there's at Haygood Mill, there's a big rock and they built a building around the rock. And they have a light show,
mm-hmm.
A narrated light show that tells you about the petroglyphs. It's spectacular. Right. I highly recommend you do it.
They'll do like spotlights on different parts of it and talk about, you know,
what they mean, what they could mean,
mm-hmm.
their ages. Sure. So being visible only in certain light makes a lot of sense to me.
It does, yeah.
And also considering that's 2,000 years of erosion,
mm-hmm.
2,000 years of rain and wind and storms and everything else.
Yeah. So these carvings, they think they may have been produced at a rate of one per year during the annual nut gathering trips to the high country.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, one per year. And so we're talking about 600. So we're
or
talking
more.
About,
and those are the only ones that survived.
Right. So this is, I mean, how many different people's lifetimes of that ancient civilization? They did this for a very long time.
I mean, you're talking at least 10 generations, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Passed on. Yeah. And it's within Table Rock State Park. So many of these petroglyphs are situated along what was once considered an early footpath over Pinnacle Mountain.
Okay.
So there's this article from the Greenville News dated November 2nd, 2014 by Charles Sowell titled "Miles Long Hype Helps Keep the Petroglyph Site in Prime Condition." And this talks about how these petroglyphs on Pinnacle Mountain were discovered.
Okay.
So it's wonderful that South Carolina's premier petroglyph site isn't close to anything, or we wouldn't still have it.
Oh, yeah. People would destroy it.
Right.
Because people do what people do.
That's right. People are, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people are, I don't know, just not the best. So it's located, yeah, like I said, a few hundred yards from the summit. And it's right on the state park line at Table Rock State Park. So it was uncovered by Pickens County naturalist Dennis Chastain and state archaeologist Tommy Charles, who authenticated the rock art more than the more than 600 carved circles in the. So I always want to call that rock gneiss, but it's nice, G-N-E-I-S-S. But apparently it's really tough rock to get through, to carve on, to.
It doesn't surprise me. You know, when I was doing some rock tumbling, the gneiss was one of the few that rarely chipped off. It would keep its shape. It is a very, very hard rock.
I wonder if they knew that. If they knew that it was going, that this is a good way to preserve
something that's going to last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if you do that on some soapstone or sandstone, that's right. It's going to, you know,
that might not.
Three rains from now, it's going to be gone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So Dennis Chastain said, we were headed for that boulder field on the Foothills Trail below the Lighthouse Cave. So I actually kind of want to look up like these things that were mentioned in this article, like the Lighthouse Cave.
I would love to go see these petroglyphs.
Yes. Yeah. So Tommy Charles, the archaeologist, he had said that one of the places they were finding these petroglyphs was in other states, was on these freestanding boulders.
Okay.
When we got to the point where you step off the Long Ridge logging road to go out on the rock outcropping, where we now know the petroglyphs are located, Dennis said to Tommy, let me run out here real quick and check out this outcropping. So Dennis used to eat lunch out there while he was hunting in that area.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Tommy stayed back on the logging road, getting a GPS reading or something like that. And when Dennis got out there and saw the carvings, he remembers calling Tommy to come down there and check them out. Dennis remembers telling Tommy, I think we just found the mother lode.
Wow.
Yeah, because they had been, Tommy, the archaeologist, Tommy Charles, he had been looking for petroglyphs for.
Well, he knew they existed because Haygood Mill
exists.
So, and he'd probably seen them in other places in sparse, you know, one or two here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Tommy Charles, the archaeologist, said that Dennis first led me to the site shortly after he discovered it, and it was relatively pristine, covering a little more than an acre on a bare rock face looking west.
That is massive.
Yes.
Looking west.
Looking west.
Interesting. The sun's setting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just off an old logging road that runs up Long Ridge. So to a degree, what has preserved the site is that there is only one way to get there with a significant uphill hike, miles of hiking. So not too many people.
Yeah, you're not finding the casual climbers.
No. Group.
Well, I mean, we will, but you're not finding regular
right
people just out for an afternoon
we're
stroll.
We're crazy enough to try things and then recommend against doing it because it just about kills us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This might be something that we say, hey, you want to make your way out there. We'll see. We might get there and be going, no. Oh, sweet God.
Yeah. After yesterday, I don't know. This is miles.
Yeah, miles. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the most accessible route, you have to start at the summit of Sassafras, cross over Hickory Nut Mountain, and climb the very vertical side of Pinnacle to reach the site.
Oh, that's right. So we covered the Sassafras Mountain Observation Tower last week.
Right.
And there is a trail. So that's the trail that they want you to start at, huh?
Even they're not recommending it.
Yeah.
They're just saying how to do it.
You have to do it.
I mean, yeah, how I badly do you want to see these petroglyphs?
Yeah,
and there are people that are wanting to see these petroglyphs that badly. I don't know.
I'm kind of one of them. Honestly, this might be, if you're feeling bad for a day, I go.
Oh, I really don't. I don't know. So it's that from there, that's about 4 miles across three mountains.
4 miles one way.
Yes.
Over mountains.
Three mountains, three different mountains. Yes.
So not an easy trail.
No. So other than one spot where someone chipped a circle out, there are only chalked drawings on the rock, a good many drawings that are primarily nonsensical efforts to make sense of the art, which is disappointing. The defacement isn't too, Tommy Charles, the archaeologist, he's like, the defacement isn't too bad unless you consider how little respect it shows for artifacts that are probably thousands of years old and are little seen.
Any defacement is a shame.
I want to believe that people don't realize the significance of something when they're doing defacing something that old.
Maybe not, but still. Like, we see it when we go to Bald Rock.
Mm.
Bald Rock is covered with graffiti. Covered with it.
Yes.
And that makes me sad.
Yes.
So I can see, and Lord knows, like, Bald Rock is huge. How many, and is very, very, very easily accessible and very right. well traversed.
Right.
How many petroglyphs have been lost?
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. So that's not great. So Dennis Chastain said, the naturalist guy, he said, all we know is they are there. There's no history book we can read that says what they mean or why some Stone Age man carved the incredibly tough table rock nice. And then Chastain said, Dennis Chastain, yeah. He still said, what is known with a certain degree of sureness is that the drawings were probably done by the Hopewell Indian culture, probably over the course of centuries. What the circles mean is a mystery. The ones on the right side of the rock face are significantly older than the ones on the left. They're only visible when the angle of light is low enough to accentuate them.
So they're mostly circles?
Yes.
God, what does that mean?
Well,
just regular old circles, huh?
Yeah.
Are they in like any pattern?
I don't know. We'll have to go up there and see.
Yeah.
Or you'll have to go up in there and see.
Yeah.
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 But I really don't, I don't recommend, even these guys don't recommend anybody doing this all by yourself. And
no, because good Lord, if something happens to you, I'm sure there's no cell service. So
right.
Yeah.
So Tommy Charles, the archaeologist, he said, since my first stop to my first trip to the site, I've gotten email queries on how to get there and gradually became curious. So I set out to find a shorter route. So the archaeologist guy is going to go out. He's going to try and trailblaze and find a shorter route. Maybe there's a trail that goes more directly there.
Yeah.
That didn't work out well. There are a maze of roads on the lower part of Pinnacle, and I gave up before finding the correct foot trail. Returning a few days later, I decided to go in from the Sassafras side and through the Table Rock Golf Resort. It made sense to me, after all. How could you get lost? And the last part was all downhill. as it turns out, you can get very lost.
On a golf course?
No, on trying to find your way up to these petroglyphs.
I would guess. I mean, we got lost almost yesterday. I can't imagine not having an endpoint in sight or a pre-programmed route to tell you where to go.
These mountains are huge.
They're massive.
Yeah. Yes. So leaving the petroglyph site at about 4 p.m. and starting down Long Ridge Road, I figured out that I was about 1.5 hours from the golf resort and called my wife where to meet me. She agreed and I set out. After an hour of walking, I should have hit the trail and called her. She told me she figured I was lost and had already called Chastain.
That's funny. She was like, I knew you were lost before you even started. That would be you. That'd be, I mean, you'd have somebody on standby. This dummy is going to get lost.
That so begs the question. Like, he made an arrangement to meet her at a certain place and time. Did she even go? Like, did she just like call? Did she sit? Was she like sitting at home doing some knitting or painting a wall or something? Like, just let me just call. Go ahead and call. And
well, let me ask you this. Would you? Or would you just be like, that idiot's going to get lost. I'm just going to wait here. I'm not going to sit out there like in.
It's not like there's any like shopping malls or anything like that nearby that she can keep herself entertained.
No, she's probably in some dirt road parking area.
Yeah. And it also doesn't sound like she was overly concerned.
She's like, oh, this dummy does it all the time.
She told me she figured I was lost and had already called Chastain, who hunts the area frequently, which is how he found the petroglyphs in the first place. So I found a road that cut off to the right and took it, which was my, this is how you get lost in the first place mistake. He found a road and took it without knowing where it went.
Okay. Yeah. This has got to go somewhere.
Yeah. It was only about 200 yards to the correct turn, which was a left. That's what that many hours of hiking will do to you.
Man, he was 200 yards away from the right turn.
Yeah, and then he just made the wrong turn.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's got to be brutal.
Yeah.
But it's easy to do out there.
Easy.
You and I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he didn't have Komoot.
No.
So after a half dozen calls on a dying phone battery, he finally hooked up with Laura and Dennis. So Dennis Chastain, the naturalist, and Laura, I think, is his wife. I was trying to confirm that, but yeah. I think he hooked up with them at the helicopter landing pad more than 5 miles from where he'd intended.
Oh, man. 5 miles off.
Yes.
Poor guy.
You can't do this anymore, said Chastain. Dennis, the naturalist guy, yeah. He said, you can't do this anymore when I hauled my trembling legs into his truck. Next time, take someone with you.
That's good advice.
Yes. I don't think his wife was willing to go. He's going to have to take somebody else with him. She's just on backup to pick him up at some location. But yeah.
So this guy, I think he died in 2021, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a shame. From what I understand, he did a lot of really good archaeological work for the state and got the Palmetto Medal from the governor.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tommy Charles, good on you, bud, wherever you are. And his wife, who knew you were going to get lost, was just sitting there.
He's going to call. It kind of begs the question, how many times did that happen in their marriage? Was it?
That could not have been the first time, right? She was ready for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
She had Dennis Chastain on speed. So there is one version of this where she's like panicked and worried, but it doesn't sound that way in Tommy Charles's retelling of it. He's like, yeah, she said.
Yeah. She knows the deal. I'm dumb. She knows it. Well, there's nobody. So, I mean, you would not expect that I would get lost because you have so much respect for me.
Yesterday's hike, there were moments where I was like, oh, please tell me he doesn't. Please tell me there's a waterfall at the end of this. Please tell me he does know where he's going. There were so many times that it was so unsure. And the absence of the tree markings, that I realize how much of a security blanket that is to me.
Yeah, you don't realize it until you don't have them.
Right.
Absolutely. If I didn't have the app, we would have gotten lost yesterday.
100%.
We might still be out there. We might. We might be in a cave, bear cave somewhere, trying not to get bear eaten. Yeah.
There were
several bear caves out there.
I mean, there were several caves, probably bears.
I, I have zero question that there were bears out there. Yeah. So we didn't run into anything, thankfully.
Right.
So that's a great fun fact. Thank you. Petroglyphs, man. So if you can't make your way up to see these petroglyphs at Pinnacle Mountain, you can easily take the 50-foot walk to the petroglyph site at the Haygood Mill Historic Site in Pickens. Absolutely well worth it. There's an old corn grist mill there.
Yes.
That is still in function. They still use it.
Yes.
On certain days of the year, they'll have experts there that'll turn on the grist mill and actually grind grits.
Yeah, you can buy them.
Yeah, and you can buy the grits there. You're absolutely right. Haygood Mill, be sure to check it out. The petroglyph site and the narrated light show is just, it's incredible. It really takes you back
right
to those prehistoric times. It's really pretty great. Thank you, Donna. That's a great fun fact. So today's review is my new hiking backpack. It's the Anoxto Lightweight Hiking Backpack 35 liter. Now on Amazon, it costs $36. It has dedicated spots for hiking poles on each side, which I really like because you can strap them. They don't flap around. They don't move. And that way, if you need them, you have them. And if you don't, they're out of the way. It has a water bladder compartment with a tube opening and a clip on the shoulder strap, which is really nice. And you know, Donna, one of the things I really like about this, it is the most comfortable to wear hiking backpack that I've worn to date. And I've tried several. There's a nice little whistle on the chest strap that goes across.
Yeah, you keep
I call it my rape whistle.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what bears are going to do out there. So, but really, it's mainly used for emergencies like bear attacks or something. Thankfully, we haven't had to use it.
Right.
It's got plenty of space to carry things, and it's super lightweight. In my opinion, Donna, it's really great for the value. I really like this backpack. What do you think of it? You took a picture, and there's a picture of it on the trail photos. What do you think of the backpack? You don't wear it. It's on my back. But what do you think of it?
It's nice looking. It's got more space in it than my backpack has. So it might be better if you're going to start out on a cold day, but then need to shed some layers to, you know, as you get hotter.
And that's how it happened yesterday. We started out with our jackets, with our lightweight jackets. I took mine off fairly quickly and put it in the back, and there's still tons of room. Like, I have our hiking emergency kit in there. I have my filtered water bladder in there. I carry snacks. I have my wallet, my keys and everything, and there's still tons of room. Like, there's plenty of room to put a lot of stuff in there.
Yes.
So it's a really good deal. I like this hiking backpack. I would recommend it. Now, you can spend hundreds of dollars on a hiking backpack. This isn't a huge one. This is not like I'm going on a 6-day hike backpack. This is a day pack. But I can't see any reason if you're taking just a simple day hike, it's a great backpack.
Yeah.
So I recommend it. It's the Anoxto, Anoxto, lightweight hiking backpack, 35 liter. They also have a 40 liter version. Comes in a ton of different colors. It's on Amazon. And if you go to the trail photos, episode 15, you will see the link that will take you straight to the product on Amazon. So that's our show for today, guys. We discussed the Pinnacle Mountain Falls Trail at Table Rock State Park, a very challenging but very rewarding waterfall hike. We also had a really great fun fact about petroglyphs there at Pinnacle Mountain by Donna. And I reviewed my hiking backpack that I hope you check out. I am not endorsed by them. I did not get it for free, but I really enjoy this backpack. It's a great value for the price. So thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, please subscribe to us in whatever podcast app you use. And be sure to leave us a review. That's how our show grows. Feel free to check out our trail photos at casualclimbers.podbean.com. And if you have a question, comment, or just want to drop us a line, you can reach us at casualclimberspodcast@gmail.com.
So, Donna.
Yeah.
What do you think about us making some petroglyphs on the front steps?
Oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't think so. We're renting this house.
That's fair. But we can leave something for posterity, right? Or here's a better idea. We'll bring a chisel set the next time we're out, and I'll just start carving petroglyphs on rocks out in the on the trails we go on.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but just think about it. Not only will we confuse people because they'll wonder how old they are, even though they will clearly be brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll confuse us. I think the confusion would be...
yours.
What? Well, it'll start out being mine for sure, but other people would be like...
what's that dummy doing?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Well, okay.
Here's what we do. If we ever get to the point where we're doing an annual gathering of nuts in a specific area, that's when we'll start doing petroglyphs.
Okay. All right. Then it's a date then, right?
Yes.
All right. In the meantime, I'm going to go on Amazon and see if I can find a Bigfoot papoose so he can carry us.
Oh, okay.
We'll see you out on the trails, everybody.
See ya.